Do you want to know what Rand Paul's son's handle is on Twitter? At TastyBrew1776. I'm sorry. I'm seeking help for my drinking problem. At TastyBrew. I love the Constitution and I love beer.
Hello, everyone. This is JVL here with my best friends, Sarah Longwell and Tim Miller of The Bulwark. In meat space, together with a bonus.
Are you okay? Yeah,
that's right. No, it's high energy, Tim. Got to bring the energy up for the live shows.
All right.
We're giving you a bonus because the live shows in California are coming. If you are in Southern California, in San Diego or Los Angeles, go to thebulwark.com/events. Get your tickets.
We might have a new surprise coming for L.A. L.A. is like a panoply of stars happening in L.A.
RuPaul?
Like podcast stars.
We'll see.
Okay. Wait, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, maybe it's a surprise for you too.
Okay, great. I love surprises. Good ones.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is a short episode. We're only talking about two things.
1 hour, 12 minutes.
The first thing we're going to talk about is Donald Trump attempting to extort the federal government for $10 billion. But that's not the good subject. You have to wait. It's all cotton candy. So you got to wait because part two is going to be amazing. News from the New York Times.
Billion?
It's 10 billy.
Really?
Okay. I thought it was million.
Now, hold on. No, let me read this to you.
What?
Okay. The Justice Department is holding internal discussions about settling President Trump's lawsuit against the Internal Revenue Service in the coming days, according to three people familiar with the deliberations, a move that could involve the government directly providing taxpayer funds or another public benefit to the president. Trump, along with two of his sons and the family business, sued the IRS for at least $10 billion over the leak of their tax returns during the president's first term.
Yes.
They're arguing the IRS should have done more to prevent the former contractor from disclosing tax information to the New York Times and ProPublica.
There is no way he's going to take $10 billion. I was mad when it was $10 million. It's a big difference between $10 million and $10 billion. 100x.
Well, the reason that this story, I think, matters a great deal is I want to do some math with you. Math is not my strong suit. It's not my favorite when we do it. But these are big round numbers, so I think we
1,000x?
$10 billion. Plus a billion for the ballroom. What do we think the arch is going to cost?
Oh, I'm sure that's going to be paid for by private monies only.
So. Well, they say that, and then it becomes public money. Okay, you've got the arch. Then you've got all the crypto money he's taken for, and all the money he's taken in for the pardons. Like, the amount of money that Donald Trump has absorbed. I know we're all talking about corruption, just sort of, yes, we all know how corrupt this administration is. The amount of money, if you added it all up, like, it's going to, A, be more than anything they did with Doge.
Oh, my God. Not even close.
Yeah. Right? And then also, like, do you know how much you could pay for with the money that Trump is directly trying to put in his pocket?
You could buy one Trump battleship.
That's true.
So our friends at the Center for American Progress have a tracker on this. Here's the thing. I don't want to get too hung up on the $10 billion because they won't get $10 billion because I don't think the $10 billion is the object. I think the object here is to get some straight cash, but also then to have a written agreement from the Justice Department and the IRS that the Trump family will never be investigated again or some such deal.
It's interesting to me that the sons are included.
Right.
This does seem—
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, it does seem like a move to somehow inoculate them as well.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of our new Democrats say that a billionaire should not exist. That's with the 1 billion. This is 10.
But it's our money.
It's my money.
Like, question. Mm-hmm. Which are you more angry about? When Trump bilks the federal government, he takes the federal government, which he now controls, directs his DOJ to pay out a settlement to him of our tax dollars, or when they take money from corrupt people who are trying to buy either pardons or favors or other things from, like, you know, the UAE, the jet from Qatar, whatever. Which is worse?
Obviously taking our money is worse. But I don't know.
It's actually a tough one.
The sand dictators.
No,
I don't want them having leverage on us.
It's not tough. This is worse. But the reason it's worse, though, is actually, God help me, it's because of the process, right? It isn't even the money. It's the idea that it's like the 60 Minutes lawsuit or the ABC lawsuit. It is Trump realizing, oh, I'm going to control the federal government, so I'll file a lawsuit And then I'll be sitting on the other side of the table deciding whether or not to pay myself. It is insane that the law allows this.
It is true that if nothing else, Donald Trump will have Yeah, of course it is. Right? But Donald Trump will have showed us more or less everywhere there's a crack that needs to be filled by new reforms in a post-Trump world.
How would you even have had a law about this before? I mean, like who would have even possibly imagined that we're paying him because of his emotional distress? Like he's negotiating with himself? This is no different than him just like saying, I've decided to increase the salary of the presidency to $1 billion because I work harder than everyone, right? Like he didn't even release – he was supposed to release his tax returns. The tax returns previously were supposed to be released. Like the notion that previously to this
– That was a norm, not a law.
Yeah, some legislator would be like, you know, we really should make a law. It says that the president cannot engage in a settlement with himself personally and take money from the treasury directly. It's kind of like, well, isn't that covered under the emoluments? Kind of. It's just such an absurd.
It feels like there's got to be a legal way in which this is already on the books that it would be in violation of. But let's just say
everybody
just
laughed about emoluments. So he had the emoluments law, and the whole first term became a joke. Like it became like, oh, ha, ha, ha.
Like you the Hatch Act.
We have a Hatch Act.
You never Trumpers would bring up emoluments again. It's like, yeah, I do think it's bad that the government is paying money to Trump's businesses. It's my money.
You know what, though? They expected that voters would never let this happen. They expected that the idea that a president would bilk his own DOJ out of $10 billion of our money would lead to a revolt.
Yeah. I'm with you. In the end, I just – who knows? Well, this will now be on tape and people can make fun of me if it's wrong. But I was like, there's no way he's going to – it's going to really be $10 billion. And there will be some kind of smaller settlement.
Yeah, it will be.
But one and penny
say,
is too much.
And what he'll say is he'll say it's not even going to me. It's going to charity. Yeah. Sure.
No, right. He won't say that.
Yes, he will.
He's done that several times.
Yes.
Yeah. Which charity? Trump.
The
Trump
human fund.
Family. Yeah.
The
Trump
human
family
fund.
Charity.
It'll be to the human fund.
To feed Trump's children.
And but it'll be the real get will be the ongoing immunity and, you know, the consent agreement about, well, we won't touch you again. All right. You guys all suffered through that. Tim.
I'm going to make people wait even more for the best part of the candy because it's a two-part. I want to talk about the Kentucky – there's a lot of drama happening in this Kentucky four house race. I wrote about it in the Triad this morning. People should read it.
Loved your Triad.
Thank
read
you.
Read it twice.
Oh, really? Thank you. it was really good, I thought. most people who are viewing this, I assume, are – especially if you're real sickos, are like familiar. Things are getting a little tense, we can say, in the pro-democracy Democratic coalition with regards to the primaries. You know, we're in primary season. There's some hard feelings. If you care at all about the Michigan Senate primary, you're probably familiar with the very hard feelings on both sides and all three sides really of that race. That is also happening in Kentucky, but it just might not be as visible to our audience. People might not be as familiar. We have Thomas Massie. And he's running against – I'm not even going to say his name. He's like literally a MAGA AI bot.
Okay.
Like to the level that his Facebook posts are AI posts. And he screwed it up one time and like put in the prompts. So like he posted a Facebook post that like included the prompts like write a MAGA American Patriot post about why I am a better candidate than Thomas Massie. So anyway, this race is happening there. And among the drama, there was a confrontation at a bar. But before we get to it, I just thought this poll was kind of interesting. I want to share. Right now, Massie, who is like not the greatest, like really, but – he stood up to Trump on Epstein, stood up to Trump on the war. It's better than nothing. He is losing by – what is it here? He's losing by about 5 points. So it's close, inside the margin of error.
To the AI guy?
To the AI MAGABot.
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
And because Trump is spending – like Trump is after him. Yeah. Trump wants his ass.
Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Age 17 to 25, Massie plus 25. Age 26 to 35, Massie plus 56. 36 to 45, Massie plus 38. 46 to 55, Massie plus 17. Age 66 plus, MAGA AI bot plus 34. So if you have a mama – looking at the camera. If you have a mama on Kentucky 4, please call her and bring her back from the edge. Turn off the TV. Turn off the Newsmax and let her know that Tom Massey's been a good representative for her. So anyway, that, because most of the vote in rural Kentucky in a Republican primary is 66 plus.
I don't think they have anybody who's between 18 and 34. Those people move out of Kentucky.
Exactly. So it's not great. And it's a little concerning. And it made me wonder, made me think a little bit about, and Sarah did a big ode on yesterday's Next Level to the boomers who are protesting. And we love boomers and we appreciate everybody who's listening to this. But you do wonder if there has to be an age. Like the, when the founders came, it's kind of like the guns thing. When they created the Second Amendment, we were talking about muskets. Well, we were talking about voting laws initially. I don't think we expected people to like live to 100. You know? And so now we have, it's from 66 to 100.
We're going to have to cut all this. This is terrible. 60, this is your worst take.
From 66 to 100.
Horrible take.
Somebody's voting for 34 years after they retire in Republican primaries. How? We're never going to get out of this. We're never, one of the reforms we might want to consider.
Wait, hold on. Are we saying voters can't vote after a certain age? Or, no, I thought you were going to say.
It's a horrible take. I want to consider.
Stop.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I thought you were going to do age limits for candidates.
Not endorse.
For candidates and
voters.
After 80.
I have a different gripe. Okay. I have a different gripe. Which is so.
I'm sorry, viewers over 80. We love the Democratic side. They're great.
It's so good to have them be mad at Tim.
But it's just like we're never gonna have a normal Republican again. These people, they're living for 30 years. Their brain is mush. They just watch Newsmax all day.
Counterpoint. The Youngs are. They're not coming off great either.
I'm sorry. Like, look at clavicular and tell me the Youngs are better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. What's all of our ages? Okay, maybe 38 to 47 are the odds of suffrage for 38 to 49-year-olds, 51-year-olds, 53, 37 to 53-year-old suffrage.
Great. I sneak under the wire. Listen, why is it that Thomas Massey can't switch parties?
Oh.
Well, he's anti-gay.
Have you met Thomas Massey?
I'm sorry.
He doesn't want the government
John
to do anything.
Everybody's like, oh, John Fetterman might switch parties. We're making a real effort to switch. Why is it that in the age of Trump, the crazy norm buster, fascist, authoritarian stuff, you have a not insignificant, like, you know, you can count on two hands probably the number of D's who flipped R over the last 10 years. I don't think there are any R's who flipped D except for our friend.
Arlen Specter in Pennsylvania.
It's like 100 years ago.
Well, I mean, I remember it.
No, I meant in the age of Trump,
zero.
Didn't we get – no, we got one in Georgia.
It was like
Georgia.
A North Carolina state
Georgia,
senator
right?
or something. Jeff Duncan.
Jeff Duncan,
you're right. Shout out Jeff Duncan. He's in a primary.
Well,
right
he's the best, but he's primary. Running as somebody
– as a Democrat.
That's right, but he didn't switch while in office. Right. This is a question.
Sure,
if you're,
that's a little bit.
I guess.
Of a
but you're Tom Massey. Like,
run as a. He could run as an independent. I guess. But
if the president is spending
Trump
all this money
by
to get
35.
You out, so run as an independent, right? I mean, anything to.
Yeah.
Not right. I just the lack of self-respect for these guys to be like, yeah, I'm going to stay in the gang that's trying to stomp me out.
I'll just tell you that.
Come on, man.
That argument. For Murkowski or for Collins was like a little bit closer. You could kind of see maybe Murkowski doing it, but like Thomas Massey, he's one of these guys who sends out, you know, Christmas cards with all of his families, like with AKs.
Sure, he doesn't think the government should exist.
Right.
But the two biggest things are Epstein and Iran,
and
he's on the side. Anyway, all right.
Now
to the candy.
Related to that race, so there's a lot of tension. Rand Paul is on the Massey side. I should set this out. Most of the party is, of course, on the side of the MAGA AI mob.
Sure.
There was a confrontation last night in D.C. Me and Sarah were in D.C. It's too bad we weren't at this bar. We were at the wrong bar last night, apparently. But Senator Rand Paul's son drunkenly accosted and hurled anti-Semitic insults at Representative Mike Lawler at a Capitol Hill bar on Tuesday night. We've heard a lot of pearl clutching among the Mike Lawler class, the establishment Republicans, about the left-wing anti-Semitism. It's a big problem. It's interesting. Rand's son told Lawler that if Thomas Massey loses, it's going to be because of your people. My people, Lawler replied. Yeah, you, the Jews, Paul's son responded. Do you think I'm Jewish? Lawler asked. I am not.
He's Catholic.
And Paul's kid. Oh, wow. I'm so sorry for calling you a Jew, loser. And then they go on and they get into an extended verbal fight at a bar over this. Right as we were coming on, Rand Paul's son has issued a statement about this, confirming that it's true. Last night, I had too much to drink, and I said some things that don't represent who I really am. I'm sorry, and today I'm seeking help for my drinking problem. Now, here it is. Here's the good part. Do you want to know what Rand Paul's son's handle is on Twitter? His X handle? At TastyBrew1776. I'm sorry. I'm seeking help for my drinking problem. At TastyBrew. I love the Constitution, and I love beer. And I don't like juice. That's it for Rand Paul's son. Oh, boy.
I'm sorry for trying to impose anything that makes sense here. Why would it be the fault of the Jews if Thomas Massie loses the Republican primary?
I think you are trying to impose like some kind of like logical.
Is this like a thing that I just don't know about?
So I do think that a big part of the discourse right now involves blaming the Jews for literally everything.
I can field this one.
Okay.
It's hard right. for me to – so again, not endorsing this. Don't clip this. I can get inside Rand Paul Tasty Brew at 1776's head, I believe. And I believe the thinking would go something like this. The Jews got us into the war in Iran.
Okay.
Okay. Thomas Massie is the only principled person besides his dad that was against the war in Iran.
Okay.
He's being also, in addition to that, the Jews were pretty involved in the Epstein child sex trafficking ring. Epstein is Jewish. Massie was the only one to stand up to that. So across these two issues, we're going to blame the Jews for both of them. Bibi's fault for the war. Epstein was Jewish. And then the establishment, if you will, pushed back at his father and his father's friend Thomas Massie for speaking out about this, people such as Mike Lawler. And now Thomas Massie might lose his seat because of all the money that's coming into the district to campaign against Thomas Massie.
From some rootless cosmopolitan sources?
Correct.
Okay.
I think that
was a real journey. I wouldn't have put any of that together.
But I think that is what is happening.
I just think that this is
wrong. It's crazy. I should just say, obviously crazy. Because insane, racist, all of it, just to be clear.
In fact, from the point of view of Thomas Massie, him being able to differentiate himself from the MAGA bots by actually being against the war, which most MAGAs are going to be against, probably helps him net-net. I guess what I'm saying is maybe Rand Paul's kid really was just drunk and going off crazy and didn't mean anything by any of it.
I think – Lawler because
it seems like a bunch of nonsense.
It's the establishment. Yeah. The establishment, the money.
It doesn't matter what his actual religion is.
You said it. The money was coming in from the so-called rootless cosmopolitans. Fair. They're running the ads, going after Massie. Again, he's hammered. This is not logical.
Sure. Okay.
Fair. You know, I mean, there's some elements of going after Israel for their involvement, you know, for participation, you know, in the war in Iran, the stupid war. Where's J.D. Vance on this?
Do we know? Has J.D. weighed in?
On the primary?
On the bar fight between Rand Paul's son and...
Any of it? Right? I mean, I assume JD is in his heart where Massie is on Iran.
We should send in
On Israel.
We should send in a request for comment to his office.
I think he's busy. I don't know if you've noticed, but JD Vance announced today they're starting a new fraud task force in the White House.
Oh.
He's been tweeting about it.
Yeah. No, he returned to Twitter. Yeah. Remember, he had his Lenten thing, and then it went on a little longer. Maybe we thought the shit poster in chief was going
to
be off.
Well, it's the Easter season. It's the Easter Triduum. Actually, I wouldn't expect you to know. But
I don't.
It extends beyond Easter Sunday.
Okay.
You then got to get out to, you know, Laudate Sunday. And
got it. Well, he
really?
Do you understand the words he just said?
Well, I do, but I was just—I thought the JVL is just at a different level of Catholic from my Catholic, and I was like, maybe people do give things up for Lent.
I'm at a lower level of Catholic. You were an altar boy.
I was not. Are you kidding me?
I thought you were an altar boy.
Oh, my brother was an altar boy.
No,
thank God I wasn't an altar boy. Could have been traumatic.
Okay. Anyway, so
I was a cantor.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be off the rails. We're getting off the rails. The point is, J.D. Vance returned to Twitter to announce the anti-fraud. And Donald Trump, and I saw Don Jr. tweeting about this, Vance is out there saying that Donald Trump is extremely concerned about fraud, and therefore they're setting up a new task force because this is his priority.
How about asking the government that you head to give you $10 billion? Is that fraud?
Feels fraudulent.
I hate to not give credit to the person, so I apologize. The funniest post I saw on this on social media was a part of the J.D. Vance's announcement, I believe it was $150 million, but whatever the number is. He said that, you know, previously the previous administrations had like not been looking in or not been investigating or indicting people for fraud under a certain amount, right? Because it's a waste of time. They're just going for the big fish. It's like, not us. Like, we're going to go after even the small fish who are defrauding.
Only the small fish.
That's like, that's a fact.
In fact, if it's over $150 million, no need to bother. Yeah. Those are our friends.
Yeah, those are our friends. That's what we call the pardon list, the people that defrauded for over $150 million. What a day.
What a day. Well, but it's nice to be –
I'm going out tonight. I might see where Michael Aller's going, see if there's any other –
What's that bar the MAGAs all hang out with? Butterworths?
I'm not going to Butterworths tonight. I'm not going to Butterworths.
It's probably a good
That's
call.
It. Yeah, I'm going to stay away from that.
That's great. Shomer Shabbos! I don't roll on Shomer Shabbos! Okay.
Anything else? Great. You're seeing us in person? Do you want to...
Seeing you in person? It's great. A little weird. Again, I just feel like we're in a weird way, the vibe on this is a little more stilted than it is when we're all in our little boxes. I felt that. Have you not felt that?
I don't think it's stilted. I think it is different to be in a studio.
Maybe it's just physical discomfort of being near people. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I also think most of our reps have been on, you know, in our boxes. But it's nice to see you.
I like getting out of my hole.
Let's
touch.
Yeah.
Okay. What a show. Well, you all are welcome. We did
Listen,
this for you.
This is an extra 20 minutes just for fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
There will be in the Next Level feed next week. Sam is going to California because JVL wants to get back into his box. So it'll be Sam and Sarah and I. We'll be in California and we'll do a whatever you want to call it. We need kind of, when one of us isn't there, we need like another word for the Next Level, like what it is if it's, because it isn't real. I mean, it is, but it isn't, you know. But you will be getting something in your feed.
Yeah. Why don't people workshop that in the comments?
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week with the live show.
Bye.